Now, the Royal Bank of Scotland Kilt Walk is a unique event that enables thousands of walkers to come together and raise vital funds for a Scottish charity of their choice. Supporters raise money by taking part in fun but challenging sponsored walking events in four locations across Scotland. There's Glasgow, Aberdeen, Dundee and Edinburgh. Now this year, Elizabeth O'Hara, she tackled all four Kilt Walks for RNIB Scotland and helped raise almost £30,000 for Talking Books. Now, Elizabeth just completed her final Kilt Walk last Sunday, and she joins me now just to tell us a bit more about it. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
So you've been really busy.
Yeah, just a little.
So how long is the actual Kilt Walk then that you do? Do they vary?
No. Because I was trying to build a team from the beginning, it was suggested that I do the wee wander part, which would make it easier for other people with sight loss to come join in. And that part is 10K, it's about 6 miles. I think Aberdeen was just a little bit under that, but the rest of them were 6 miles. The actual walk itself is like between 24 and 26 miles. And then there's a middle part, which I think is about 16 miles. And then the wee wander, which is 6 and a bit miles, 10K all in.
That's a fair trek still, though.
Well, I'm an avid walker. I have a guide dog, and I just walk in general. I like to walk at pace. So I suppose that's the difference with the Kilt Walk. It's a bit more relaxed. You've got family and friends around you. You're having fun. You're gabbing. Loads of people involved, loads of children, loads of other dogs. It's just a great day, family day. It's just, you know, it turned in Glasgow, because I had a lot of people, I'm from Glasgow, so most of the team were from Glasgow on that day for the wee wander, and it was fabulous. It was a great day. Everybody enjoyed it, which was just really good for me anyway, trying to build the team and make sure everybody had a good day on that day. It was just fantastic.
So you're raising funds but also having a bit of a chin wag at the same time?
Yes, exactly. My sister came from Aberdeen and took part, so that was good for me on a personal level. My daughter was there, my future son-in-law was there, my ex-guide dog was there, my guide dog was there, my friends were there, and there were other people from RNIB as well who I managed to convince to come along on the day. One of my friends was there with her two children. It was a fabulous day. Really good.
What made you commit to all four of them?
It was a passing comment I made at the Kilt Walk last year in the Glasgow Kilt Walk. I was with a friend and we were walking along and she was explaining it to me because I joined in pretty late. We didn't have a fundraiser in the West at the time for RNIB. So it was Angela Preston from the East who was covering the whole of Scotland. So I only found out about the Kilt Walk. I signed up on the Friday and walked on the Sunday. So it was a whole load of short notice. So as we were going round, I was speaking to my friend, and she works for RNIB, so she was explaining it all. And I said, gosh, that's quite simple. I said, I could walk that, no problem. And then I think I was overheard, and then from there it just seemed, okay, then Elizabeth, you can do it next year. And I said, yeah, okay, that's fine, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Because, of course, there's the actual travelling to the walks as well, because they're quite spread out, aren't they?
Yeah, on the day of the Aberdeen Walk, Suzanne McCall, who is the fundraiser in the West now, we drove up because we couldn't get there in public transport. There wasn't a train that would have got us there on time because it's a Sunday. So Suzanne very kindly drove me and Kiki there and brought us back, and we walked that walk. And Suzanne supported Amanda Burton, who was the girl in Aberdeen who did the walk with us. That went very quickly because Amanda's getting married, so we just spoke about her wedding the whole way round, the planning process and what she was up to and what was happening and where it all was. And I think we discussed all things weddings, so that was a good walk, and it went very quickly. When it was done, because Amanda and I looked at each other and thought, oh, okay, that's over then. So, yeah, that was good. It was a good walk.
So you raise money for RNIB Scotland. Have you received support from the charity over the years then?
Yes, I lost my sight in 2010, but through various other health issues, I didn't really address my sight loss in 2012. I had a whole load of stuff went on between those 2 years, and then my mum died in the August, and after family had left and all went back to their lives, I kind of sat up one day and like walk out the front door and realised, oh, I actually can't do that. I can't walk out the front door on my own. So I kind of came back upstairs and gave it a thought, and I got in touch with RNIB. And the what was called at the time was Moving Forward. I became part of that group. It's now called Living with Sight Loss. And through that, I kind of realised, okay, there's life after sight loss. I can do this, I can do that, I can go here, I can go there. I got my long cane training very quickly because I was on my own. So it was just all round the help that I received from RNIB. It opened up a lot of doors for my life and helped me realise that, you know, life doesn't end after sight loss. You can still continue to do what you want to do, basically. And that's kind of what I did.
It is interesting, isn't it? Even as severe as your situation was at the time, you have to reach that realisation where, right, this is where I am. I have to deal with this now, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. And as I say, you know, for me, it wasn't that I knew I could do what I wanted to do, but it was figuring out a way how to do it. I'm a very positive person. I have a positive outlook. So I wasn't willing to let the sight loss impact my life to the extent that I couldn't live independently. So getting the long cane training certainly helped with that. But going along to living with sight loss groups or Moving Forward at the time were very good for me. It let me be around other people who had visual impairments, and I saw how their lives were, and that encouraged me hearing their stories. And I just wanted to make sure there was no barriers there. Of course, there is barriers, but you know, we all live with that and we try and fight against that every day when you walk out the front door. But you know, I didn't want to make myself a barrier. I think maybe that was finding that way around things, and that was very helpful, getting advice and other people with sight loss telling me how to do things, you know, explaining how they did things, and from there I just kind of figured it out.
I know in my own case I get quite frustrated with myself still at things that I can't do or things that I do that I think, oh, that was so stupid. And I don't know why I beat myself up about it, because it just goes with the territory, doesn't it, at times?
Yeah. I mean, I still stand up off the sofa sometimes. I mean, my children laugh because they're used to it now. They children, they're adults, but they are my children. I mean, I'll stand up and I'll go to walk out the door and I just bat against the door jam and I say, oh, God, there's my shoulder again. But it's just one of these things when you stand up, I forget I can't see and I go to walk out the door and the door's closed, so I bang into it. But it's because, you know, I think in my head, I don't see it. I still think there's some days where I think, oh, well, I can see, and I go to try something, and then I go, oh, no, I can't do that. Okay, then, let's figure this out. And I can laugh at myself, which is a good thing. You know, I can be self-deprecating, which I think helps me every day. But, you know, I know everybody's not like that, so that's kind of part and parcel of why I wanted to be a volunteer for RNIB, just to show myself that I could do it, but to show other people that they can do it.
Yeah, and your experience then, in turn, with somebody else, they're at a different point in their journey. You know, just talking to each other sometimes
exactly.
can make all the difference, can't it?
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I am a community lead with Connect, and I offer peer support for three groups, which is it's fantastic, and it's brilliant to be part of Connect and reaching people who were isolated, being out in the community, doing different things that they enjoy, you know, the book groups, bowling groups, just social groups. There's loads of things going on in Scotland with Connect, and being part of that is very encouraging for me as well. Because again, you meet people every day who are doing things that are just absolutely amazing. And that inspires me as well.
And of course, you've helped raise £30,000 for Talking Books, which is not to be
wow.
sniffed at, yeah.
Yeah, no, I couldn't believe it when Angela gave me the news yesterday, Angela Preston. I could not believe it because there was a target set and that just has exceeded it. It's just blown that away and it blew me away. It was just absolutely fantastic.
Did you make any new friends when you were on the walks?
I did. I mean, I don't think I met anyone. I met a few in Edinburgh that I didn't know. We had wonderful volunteers from Sainsbury's Bank at the Edinburgh Kilt Walk, and I met three of them. I kind of did the walk supported by three of them alternatively, and they were just absolutely fantastic. And the questions they asked, you know, I'm one of these people, you know, folk will say to you, can I ask you this? I can just ask me anything. I'm a notebook, and if I can answer it, I will. And that's just kind of the way I live. Because I think if someone asks me a question about sight loss, then they're being educated. And I think education is a big thing for the public when it comes to sight loss. So if anybody wants to ask me anything, and as they did on that walk, and it was absolutely brilliant because I think they learned a lot and I also learned a lot, because it helps us to realise maybe what we can put in place as part of our NIB to help other people understand sight loss.
I mean, did you know anybody who was blind, really, before you had your sight
Never.
Problem? Yeah, see, that's, I think that's the thing sometimes when we become visually impaired, we forget that a lot of people have not really had any dealings with somebody without any sight or little sight. So, you know, that what you're saying there is great, because it helps raise awareness if people can't openly ask questions.
Yeah. I mean, I lost my sight. I was 42, I think I was, roughly, when I lost my sight. So I had a long, many years with sight, no issues at all. So then losing my sight and getting your head around that and explaining that to people was good for me. You know, that helped me. It gave me encouragement. And then being part of the Living with Sight Loss group, that was the first time I was ever around anybody with sight loss, really, to the extent that these guys were. And that the inspiration I got from them was just fabulous. You know, it let me understand that living with sight loss and life after sight loss can be as good, if not better. Certainly for me, I do a lot of things now that I probably would never have did had I still had my sight.
And of course, you've got your guide dog Kiki, who kept you company as well on the walks. Yeah.
Yes, Kiki did. I didn't do the Glasgow one with Kiki because I just got her brand new out of the box in April. So I kind of thought that would have been too much, because I knew Glasgow was the busiest walk out of the four. So her first walk was Aberdeen, and there was just 3 years, and it was just relaxed. So she was absolutely fantastic, as she was at Dundee and Edinburgh. You know, she's a wee star. She really is.
Well, congratulations on what you've achieved. Are you planning to do something perhaps next year then?
Well, yesterday, actually, Kilt Walk have now advertised a pop-up Kilt Walk in Dumfries. Their plan is kind of just going to areas that maybe would never have had a Kilt Walk, or people from there wouldn't have gotten to the Kilt Walk. So now that I've did 4 at 50, I'm maybe looking at doing 1 at 51, because it's my birthday next week and the Kilt Walk's in November. So I'm looking to take part in that, I think, and maybe try and raise more money for our NIB talking.
Well, you're a fantastic ambassador, and we wish you the best with your plans. Elizabeth O'Hara, thank you so much for sharing the Kilt Walk with us.
Thank you very much.